Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Now, Pastor Cheryl was supposed to preach today, and she had a very, very busy week. Somewhere in there, she thought my week wasn't as busy as hers. So she said, "You're on." So I went, "Oh, here we go." But I do love Christmas. I love the Christmas season. How many remember your favorite Christmas gift, the favorite gift you ever received? Just think about it. The one that you think back now, that was an awesome Christmas. Do you have a favorite one? How many actually believed in Santa when you were little? Still do, Bobby. Thank you. That's good. I know my kids still believe in Santa. They do. But I remember one Christmas. I think I was about 7 or 8, but I really wanted a pool table. It didn't have to be a great big one, but I really wanted a pool table. And so when Christmas Day came, I was down really early. My mom would give us stockings so that if one of us were up really, really early, we could open our stockings first. But we couldn't open the gifts until everybody was up. And for whatever reason, my dad, we all had to have breakfast as well. So you had to have breakfast and, you know, everybody was up and your teeth brushed and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and you couldn't do anything until all that was done. So anyway, you know, ravaged my stocking, got my fill of chocolate, and then it's time. And I'm at the tree, though, and I'm looking, and there's nothing that looks big enough to be a pool table. So I'm already a little disappointed. And sure enough, we open gifts and stuff like that. And I mean, it's really, really rough when you have gifts. And I remember my daughter once, and I don't think she meant it this way at all, but it was her birthday party once and had some gifts and stuff. So she went, "Is that it?" It was just kind of the way she said it. My wife was like, "Is that it? What do you mean, is that it?" And she went, "I meant, is that it?" But I was kind of like, "Is that it?" I was really kind of disappointed. And they went, "Yeah, there's nothing else here." And I went, "Oh, so that's it, eh? Yeah. Well, what were you expecting?" I said, "I was really kind of hoping for that pool table." And so my dad said, "Well, you know, let's go check the chimney again and stuff. Maybe it's stuck in there or something." And I'm like, Dad says, "You know, look at the chimney. Do you think that's really even big enough for the pool table? How do you think Santa gets that in here? You know what? It's a busy, busy time." He said, "I wonder if Santa left it in the garage." And I went, "Wow, that would be neat." And sure enough, I went in the garage, and there was the pool table in the garage. 1, 2, 3. That was pretty cool. I remember that Christmas. You remember yours? All right, don't tell your neighbors. Wait till later. But, you know, I love Christmas because Christmas is about gifts. Now, I want to start off, and we're going to talk about a silent invasion today, but Sue's going to help me out, and she's going to show you an actual military invasion, just little clips from it, okay? So can you pull it up for me, Sue? Just go ahead. I want you to listen to the words here as well, okay? Listen, just turn it up for me.
The following communique has just been issued by Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
People of Western Europe, the hour of your liberation is approaching. All patriots, men and women, young and old, have a part to play in the achievement of final victory. This landing is but the opening phase of the campaign in Western Europe. Great battles lie ahead. I call upon all who love freedom to stand with us now. Keep your faith staunch. Our arms are resolute. Together we shall achieve victory.
Now, why did I show you that? I showed you that because when I think of invasion, I think of something like that. And that was one of the most significant invasions in our day, and that was D-Day. Pretty incredible thing. But you see the amount of effort, the amount of planning, the number of people, the military force and everything, even back then, that was involved in an invasion to set people free from really an evil captor. People were in bondage to something that was tremendously evil. And that was an invasion. But you know, here's God. And let me give you a few verses. Ready? Let me just give you one that should be familiar to you all. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the world is the object of God's love. It doesn't say God loved church people. It didn't say God loved people who believe the same thing. It says God so loved the world. And it wasn't just that he loved the world. I mean, he so loved the world. And love is the reason for the season. Wasn't that good? Love's the reason. But you know, it really is about love. It's about God love. The reason that God sent his son was because he loves the world and he wants the world to be completely, totally free of every form of bondage and limitation. Well, we're Pentecostals. You can say amen, clap, shout, run around, stomp your feet. It's all right. Hallelujah. That's true. All right. 1 John 1:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Christmas is all about the manifestation of the Son. Why was he manifest? Well, he's manifest because of the love of God. God loves the world, but you see, the world was held captive and the world was under subjection to real, genuine evil. And God wanted to invade this earth and he wanted to bring freedom and liberty. He wanted to bring it back under the reign and the rule of his love and of his grace. And God sent his Son. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. There's real evil at work. If you don't know there's evil at work, you haven't been paying attention. There has been, and there still is. And that invasion, a silent invasion that Christmas is, I mean, God decided, like nobody even knew what was going on. I mean, he had to send angels. He had to announce in many different ways that the invasion was on. He had to personally invite people to come because nobody would have known that a little child who would change the whole world was planted in the womb of a teenager. And Christmas is all about an immaculate conception. A little girl, a teenage girl who had no relations with a man, became pregnant by the Holy Ghost, by God himself. God planted himself in humanity. God became man and dwelled among us. Well, that's a crazy story. That is the miracle of Christmas. It's the gift of God, the wonderful gift of his own son. John 1 verse 14, and the word, the living word, and the word, the one who created all things, the word that was with God at the beginning, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The purpose is to bring that expression and manifestation of his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of anger and judgment, full of grace, truthfully. It's all about his love and his kindness and his grace. Jesus didn't come to judge the world. He came to save it. The Father came to love it. He came to demonstrate the ways of a loving Father, to confront the things that cause suffering and pain and things in the earth today. God, literally, Christmas is about a full-on invasion of heaven coming to earth. Silent as it may be, mysterious. I mean, what an amazing plan that you would decide to take over the earth by sending an infant. Wow. That's why I think even the devil and every evil force never really caught on, because they're going, that's it? And nonetheless, caused Herod in his heart to be jealous that he wanted to kill that child before it even began. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. Going to read it for you. You ready? Who's ready? All right, three people. Good. Now in the sixth month, an angel, Gabriel, was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man. She was betrothed. They were engaged. She was betrothed to the man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, boo! I always thought I'd love to be an angel and just scare people. You know? But anyway, I mean, how many know that if an angel just showed up, it would be a little bit like boo? That's why often the angel's first words are, don't be afraid, because this is pretty creepy right now. All right, so, fear not. I mean, don't be afraid. The angel came to her and said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled, saying, what? She said, considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom, and of his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, what? That's just my paraphrase, because how do you think, like, that is a pretty serious moment right there. A teenager, a young girl had this moment, pretty wild. So then Mary said, like, how can this be since I've known no man? Like, I do understand a bit how this works. And so how is this going to go down? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who was born in you will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, whatever that mountain or obstacle is in your way, Christmas speaks to every obstacle, go away. Christmas speaks to every difficulty, you're defeated. Christmas speaks to every mountain, melt like wax. Christmas speaks to every circumstance, there is a God who cares for me and meets all my needs. Christmas speaks to fear and says, don't be afraid. Christmas speaks to confusion and says, don't be confused. It brings you life, it brings you revelation, it brings you hope. Hallelujah, and pool tables too. So it's really cool that way. Said, how is this going to happen? Said, for nothing is impossible with God. Now that word nothing, if you look it up and go to your lexicon and pull up the Greek, this was originally written in Greek, the book of John. So when you go to the original language Greek and you look up the word nothing, the interesting thing is the word nothing is rhema. So it's literally saying there's no rhema from God that is without power to bring forth what God said. So the angel was saying, what God said, he will do. And every word from God has power to bring forth what he said. Glory to God. Isn't he good? So she right there, now listen to her now. I mean, this is, I love this because this should be your response right now. All right? Because the word is spoken, but I believe for conception to take place, I believe for that word to be manifest in your life, you have to respond to that good news somehow. What are you going to say in light of that? Well, my circumstance is too big. My situation, you have no idea. My trouble or my difficulty, it's larger than you know, pal. So, I mean, you might say nothing's impossible to God, but I have a difficult time believing that. Well, that's what Mary said. How's that going to happen? But then when he said, no word from God is without power. I've already been sent, believe me, this word, when God sends you with a word, that word is packed with power to accomplish it. So here's what she said. She said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to the rhema. So I align my life now up under the word of God, and I say, thank you, let it be. And I believe right there, let it be, conception. Let it be, there's your miracle. And you know, sometimes your miracle may come in seed form. And you got to nurture that purpose, and you got to care for that purpose, and you got to bring it to full term. Thank you very much. Preach that. It's tag team preaching. Praise God. All right. So let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, God wants to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. That's really what it's all about. You know, saving you is a byproduct of this whole thing. God really wants to deliver this world from captivity, and he wants to cause it to happen by using you as a part of it. So your redemption is a part of an invasion. Your redemption is a part of the fulfillment of God's purpose, which is to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. And Christmas is the Spirit of God colliding with the natural realm to manifest his glory in what can be seen. So it's the unseen realm colliding with the seen realm to bring about what God desires in the unseen realm to be manifest in the seen realm. Can you see that? And if you want to see that, you have to say, let it be unto me according to your word. It's that exchange of faith where you say, I believe. A lot of people say, I don't believe. More people believe in Santa than Jesus. It's ridiculous. But Jesus really is the reason for this whole thing. Now, Christmas, two words, right? Christ and Mass. Christ is the anointed one. It means to smear and to rub. Mass means a celebration of physical substance and weight. Christ and Mass. I'm a little nervous today because we have teachers here, and I feel like I'm being graded. So, I mean, we're nervous about that. My daughter's a teacher. My mom was a teacher. My brother was a teacher. My whole life, I feel like I'm under pressure. Christmas, the anointed one, to smear, to rub, Mass, substance or weight. So that is a smearing of the anointing on all Mass, on all that exists. Christmas is about, Christmas means, what does it mean, Pastor? Christmas is a celebration of the consecration and smearing of all physical substance by the birth of Jesus Christ the Lord. Christmas means let everything be smeared with the anointing of Almighty God. Let all substance be impacted by the anointing that breaks and shatters every yoke. Merry Christmas! Man, that's a whole lot. Who would want to say, don't say Christmas when you know what it means? You're like, I want everything smeared by the power of a loving and a gracious God. Man, smear it, smear it, smear it. Go ahead, say to your neighbor, Merry Christmas. So now, like I said, the story didn't take place in a vacuum. It's history. This isn't something that, you know, we know about this. I mean, historically, extra-biblical literature, we know there was Jesus. We know about his teachings and who he was. There's so much written about this historical figure. So this isn't, you know, Shrek or Beauty and the Beast. This is really a story about a living figure who he himself, if he was such a great teacher, what kind of teacher would say, I am God? Well, I like his teachings. I like some of his stuff. Well, here's one of his primary words. I am the Son of God, and there's no other way to the Father except through me. That was what the teacher said. That's what that historical figure said. So this is a silent invasion, silently given, a little gift, strangely wrapped, a king who came and began a movement that would overthrow all the kingdoms of the world. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and our King, and he shall reign forever and forever. So this is a full-on confrontation. This is a full-on invasion, and it's an invasion of love, it's an invasion of goodness, and it's an invasion of grace. Amen. It's not an invasion of you're all wrong, you're wrong, I don't like you, don't like what you do. It's an invasion of I completely, totally accept you and love you. That's what it is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not saying, hey, clean up your act and I'll be gracious to you. Thank God he didn't wait for me to get all fixed up. And thank God he's still being patient with me today, as some of you may or may not know. All right, the early church knew they were engaged in a full-on assault using subversive language. They knew that they were positioning themselves against Rome. They resisted the structures of their day by laying down their lives. It was an honor to die like Jesus. And in this world, Philippians 1:21 said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. They used words like Lord. He is Lord. When they said that, basically, you see, in their culture, Caesar is Lord. But they said, no, Jesus is Lord. You have to understand that is completely antagonistic to the reigning culture, to the reigning forces of their day. They were literally saying, although their Lord said, be subject to these ruling parties, this Lord said, but do it in an understanding that I am the Lord of you and live under my lordship as you submit to civil governments and authorities. But he said, but I indeed am the Lord of all. So it was a pretty scary language. It's just no wonder they were persecuted and thrown to the lions and all kinds of things. It's because it was a very, very conflict-oriented language, and they knew very well what it was. So it's not a pretty little story. It's an invasion of a kingdom. So in God is still, he's still invading today. So the incarnation is where Christ comes into a human, and then Christ is birthed and manifest in and through that human to bring on the seen realm the tangible good news of God. But that very same thing is happening now. When you align yourself and say, I believe that. When you say, I believe Jesus is who he said he is, you literally have aligned yourself with the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you literally, it's like you put yourself under the spout where the glory flows out. It's not complicated stuff. When you align yourself and you say, I believe Jesus is who he said he is, then you align yourself with his reign and his rule. And it's not creepy or weird. It's actually very, very good. That's why the gospel is good news. You align yourself with his life, and literally he begins to minister in and through you. Because the purpose isn't just to touch your life, but it's in and through you to literally change the circumstances that surround you. You are to be a beachhead of everything good and everything kind and everything loving. Yes, it is a war. It's a love war. What can I do for you? That's what it's all about. So let's look at Mary just for a minute, all right? We're going to look at three things, only three things, but the third thing has seven things. So it is only a seven-point sermon technically, or three-point technically, but it's actually about 28 points really. No, just kidding. I saw some of you get, oh, my God. Okay, number one, we're going to look at the announcement. All right, here's the announcement. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Jeremiah said that in Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Rhetorical question, meaning no, there's nothing too hard for me. So at Christmas, we need to get reacclimatized to the supernatural. We are a mystical group of people. We literally hear God speak to us. We literally are led by something in the unseen that helps us manifest his desires on the scene. It really is. Here's an amazing announcement, though. When you align yourself with him, here's the great announcement. Nothing is impossible with God. That's the hope you bring into every circumstance and situation. Not just enough to give you a breakthrough for your life, but to change your whole world. Amen. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Let me give you the second one. You ready? There's the announcement. Now here's the assignment. So if it were just an announcement, nothing's too hard for God. That's incredible. But here's the assignment. You're supposed to bring forth the Son of the Most High. That was Mary's assignment, right? But it's your assignment too, because it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. What he's saying is God put himself in you, and all you little earthen pots have a treasure. It's the very glory of God. And God has announced to you nothing is impossible. And now in and through you, I'm going to fill you with my glory. I'm going to put a treasure in you that's kind of as a breakthrough, not just for you, but for every person you come in contact with. That's the announcement, but now there's the assignment. So that treasure, we've got to go now. We've been entrusted with cosmic redemption. Not just little stuff. I mean cosmic stuff. I mean anything that's wrong, not only in this sphere, but even in the supernatural sphere. Even in the other earthly sphere. We have been entrusted with cosmic redemption. God entrusted the initial manifestation to a teenager, but that now is allowed to continue in and through us, because what she did, bringing forth the Son, and what the Son did now, he has absolute permission to flood you with his glory because of his life and then his death and his burial and his resurrection. He has the right to crown you with his glory and his majesty. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? It really is. So let me give you number three now. Here's where we get into some other stuff. The acceptance. Because she accepted this, all right? So she accepted that. But now listen, number one of the three, point three, it's challenging. How many think that's challenging? I mean, you're a teenager and you're going to get pregnant by God. Yeah, I'm into that, sure. That's why a lot of people go, it takes a lot of faith to believe that. Yes, it does. That's because we're saved by faith, not by works. It's not about being goody two-shoes. Because you can come here, you can be a basket case, just bring your Bible and be yourself. Because God loves you. It's not about all being nice little goody two-shoes now, because you're all still pretty screwed up still. Just put up your hand if you know that's true. Quit trying to be so perfect out there because people already know you got issues. But you know what you get to tell them? God's good. God's good. All right, so here it is. Behold, she says, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. So the first thing, the first challenge is, are you willing to say yes to the dress? It is. It's the smearing. It's the anointing. You're going to get clothed with the power from on high. Are you willing to be living and have this miracle take place in your life? This unexplainable lifestyle that you're being called into, are you willing to embrace it? So there's a challenge there, but she willingly risked everything and she partnered with the miraculous. Because imagine, she's got to go now, she's engaged, and she's got to go tell, you know, the guy she's engaged to, hey, by the way, an angel showed up and I am pregnant, but don't be afraid because I'm pregnant by God. He sent his spirit and now I'm having a child. Right. It's awesome. I think I saw this on Oprah. So, and then I went to Dr. Phil. And then, God forbid, we got the Jerry Springer. But anyways, I mean, you got to know that he's like, right, okay, good, yeah, super, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And he's walking, and go, oh, no. Because it literally says he thought, you know, I'm going to put her away quietly. He said, she's obviously, woohoo. So it says I'm going to put her away quietly. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to expose her, make a big deal about this in our culture. Because in their culture, they were all a bit weird. Some of them were pretty radical. And if that was found out, they would actually have a rock concert in your favor. It was, yeah, that you could get stoned. And I don't mean by, I don't mean that kind. You know, so. I mean, she's embracing a lot of contradictions here, is she not? Hello? Like, you read over this story. I'll read it every Christmas. Isn't that nice? And a young child, a virgin, saw an angel. She's going to have a child. Oh, isn't that nice? Are you kidding? What if it was your daughter? Your what? Don't give me that. I saw you hanging around. I mean, she embraced a whole lot of contradiction here, a whole lot of difficulty. Give me another slide. There's a lot of contradictions here. Luke chapter 2 then, verse 7, and she brought forth the firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. All right, I'm giving birth to the king of the universe, the one who created everything. I'm giving birth to him. You'd think there'd be room at the Hilton. You're thinking, if he is the big king of glory, why am I, when I'm giving birth to him, I got not even a room, not a bed, not nothing. I got a cave in the corner of a hillside. I'd be sitting there going, I mean, I gave everything for you. I faced all of this difficulty for you. You couldn't even get us a room. It's not a good start. How many been like that? God's got a word. He's got a call in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, you know, I've had people, they get to their first meeting and you know, they show up and it's so fantastic. Then they find out that they billeted you with some lady and you're sleeping beside the cat litter. When you got up in the morning, your foot went in here. Glory to God. I'm in the ministry. Hallelujah. True story, by the way. But I mean, this is it, in a manger, because there was no room. I mean, are you kidding? You created everything and there's no room. There's contradictions. You're going to face contradictions. You'll walk out of here going, nothing's impossible with God. Hallelujah. Somebody slashed my tires while we were in church. Stole my stereo. That's awesome. I love this church. All right, give me another one. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down, worshipped him, and when they opened they saw their treasures. Now, see, you got that contradiction, but you hang on, right? Remember the last couple of weeks, we had to don't let go, and we had to hang on. And she literally had to not let go, and she had to hang on. But sure enough, suddenly this caravan of people with truckloads of gold and silver and frankincense and myrrh show up, and you're like, going, I can't believe this. I'm a little conflicted. Can this really be a God thing when it's such trying circumstances? And all of a sudden, these guys show up with, oh, he's the King of Kings. Thank God for that one. Give me another one. So it has conflicts, right? Luke chapter 2, 34 and 35. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Well, I was enjoying the word so far until you got to that. What do you mean a sword will pierce through my own soul also? You know, sometimes when you're carrying the purpose of God, there's some of those sword seasons that are so much fun. But Mary, here she is, carrying the Lord of glory, doing this whole incredible, you know, purpose that God had for her. And yet in the midst of that, it says, yes, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I mean, I recorded the whole prophetic word except that part. And then it says, I put on there at the bottom, there's no handle on the word of God. No handle even on the word in your life. Sometimes when you pick up the word that God has for you, it's a sword, but there's no handle. Sometimes it cuts you first. All right, give me another one. You ready? Matthew 13. Is that like Matthew 13, 55 to 57? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all of these things? So they were offended at him. Now here's Mary. How many of you know that it's hard when you have your child and your child's out playing a game and nobody likes them? I mean, Mary also had other children. So Mary knew what it was to have genuine conceptions, but Mary knew this one was immaculate. But Mary knew, and she had to put up with people who were constantly offended at her boy, constantly offended, and she knew. Everybody else, all through their life, they thought Jesus was that, you know, he was conceived out of wedlock. He's the one. I don't think they were all sure about who he was. And she had to put up with that contradiction all the way through. And even when he starts sharing wisdom and healing and doing miracles, you know, the people around her go, isn't this Mary's son? I mean, isn't the one that we're not quite sure? He might be illegitimate. Isn't that the one? Who does he think he is? And people get offended at him. I mean, you're on this journey with God and it's full of difficulties. It's full of offense. And give me another slide. Give me another verse here. Mark chapter 3, 21. Now look what happens. It says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Now you see, Mary went through such turmoil, such difficulty, that Mary even came to a place when Jesus was ministering, and I mean, everybody was coming, and she saw what was going on. She said, you know what, he needs a little mothering right now. I think he's getting a little carried away. Literally, Mary and the rest of the family thought Jesus is nuts. And they went and they said, tell him to come out here. Tell Jesus to come. It's time for you to come home. It's getting a little out of hand. Mary was conflicted about it all. Have you ever got conflicted about your own call? You ever got conflicted about your own destiny? You ever got conflicted that your life might have been miracles to this point, but right now you question everything? Mary got to that point where she said, he's out of his mind. You can't put your hands. You cannot make the purpose of God happen in your own strength. You can't do it by grasping it with yourself. You got to submit to him. It says, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. And he said this now. Here's what he said. Tell them this. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He said, whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother. That had to be a bit of a weird situation for Mary. I mean, pretty amazing journey. Give me another one. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. This had to be pretty difficult too. Now here I am. I know this was an immaculate conception. I know what the angel said to me. I know, and I've seen this journey. And here I am now, and I'm watching this promise be mercilessly nailed to a cross. Had to be pretty conflicted. You ever seen the promise be dealt with ruthlessly? You ever seen something you were believing for just look like it just got ravaged? And even in that situation, you're carrying the purpose of God. Give you another verse. How you doing? You okay? A pool table in the garage. Just. It has consummation. Here it is. You ready? Here's what's so amazing for me. Mary physically, imagine when she started to feel the flutters, started to feel the kicks, and then she's like, holy moly. I don't know if she said that or not, but holy moly, I really have a child in there. Wow. And then she gave birth to that immaculate conception. So now, listen though, here it is. Jesus, when he ascended, they went up the mountain and they saw him ascend. And he told them, go and wait in Jerusalem because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Most High is going to come upon you. Mary's like, this language sounds familiar. The Spirit of the Most High is going to come upon us. That's interesting. That's what the angel said to me about giving birth to Jesus, that we were going to experience the anointing in us. I am with you now, but then I will be in you. Mary's going, you were in me before, but you're going to be in me again. And Mary heard that when she saw he was resurrected, and she's like, man, this is all mind-blowing. My son, he was taken, he was killed, he was crucified, laid in the tomb, and then he was resurrected on the third day, just like he said he would, just like every prophecy about him fulfilled. And now he's telling us at his ascension, go and wait in the upper room. And look what it says. It says in Acts 1:14, in the upper room, they all continued in one accord, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, here she is. I mean, I physically gave birth to this child. I've watched his ministry. I've had been confused at times with how the whole thing works out. But I see now, and I'm in the place now where that Christ that was in me, it's going to be in me again. And in a new way, in a unique way, not as a child, but filling every part of me. And not something that I'm just carrying, but something that will now carry me. Something that will animate me, something that will fully give me, that just as he is, so will I be in this world. It says, so there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary carried the anointed one to full term, birthed and nurtured him, but now Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now Christmas is all about you getting to bring Christ to full maturity and for that to fully work in your life and in your world. Merry Christmas. Mary smeared with the anointed one. Mary, all of Mass smeared with the anointing. Mary, every circumstance of your life demonstrating the kingdom of God. A couple more slides, we're going to let you go. Acts chapter 2, 3 to 4, then there they were, appeared unto them, divided tongues of fire, sat on each one, say each one. Who else was there? Mary. Mary got whacked again with the glory. Mary, who brought the manifestation of the glory, Mary now gets to be a manifestation of the glory. Whoa! Each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Another slide. Two more, I think. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, Christmas, the Christ smearing your mass is the hope of God's eternal purpose, which is the earth filled with the glory. It's not going to get badder and badder out there. The church is waking up. It's going to get gooder and gooder. It's going to get better and better. And you know, that word seeks fulfillment, where the goodness of God, the love of God, where the people who really have the revelation, not judgment and bondage and weirdness, but the love of a wonderful God, they're going to fill the earth with good news. Amen? Who or what awaits an invasion of the miraculous that can only be realized when your consecration is complete? See, Mary had to agree with that for there to be a demonstration. So do you. So do you. You just have to agree with this. You have to agree with God and let it come forth. One more slide. At Christmas, the volume gets turned up. I hear Jesus being sung in the malls. Any other time, you know, like, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. I love hearing that, don't you? And now everywhere, there's just a little more consciousness. And people do nicer stuff. Their hearts are a little lighter, you know, except for Scrooge. But even Scrooge had a turnaround. And it was about the heart, wasn't it? His heart was dead. But Jesus met pain head on. Christmas is about pain having a full-on collision with the goodness of God. And God wants to do the impossible through you. Now just listen, okay? Just stay seated. Don't race for your purses and get ready to run. Just hang on just for a minute, okay? Just listen. And just meditate with us for a second.
Of the deepest night. And I will follow you, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My shepherd king, you're watching over me, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My shepherd king, you're watching over me, Jesus Christ, you'll never let me go. My shepherd king, you're watching over me,
Can you do something for me? Just kind of bow your head, close your eyes, and just nobody's looking around. It's just you. And you know something? It's just you. It's really a personal thing because God's speaking to your heart, and it really is God. He's knocking on the door of your heart, and he's saying, it's Emmanuel. It means God with us. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's God coming to his own and saying, let me in. And he is tapping the door of your heart. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you've never known what it is to kind of align yourself with him and say, yeah, I believe. Because really all it says is, it says to those who believe, he gives the right and the privilege to become children of God. Isn't that great? He doesn't say to those who do or to those who behave, to those who, you know, knock off the list of these 25 things. He says to those who believe. I give them the right and privilege to be children of God. So maybe you're here today and you've never really made that exchange of belief and said, I believe. Or maybe you don't know if you did. And maybe you just want to say, man, I really want to be sure. It's good news and I'm in. If that's you, could you do something for me? I'm just going to count to three. And when I do, it's just you. There's nobody else that's important. In this decision, nobody else is important. Just you. I'm going to count to three. And when I do three, would you raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, just pray for me before we go, okay? And then we're all just going to pray together. But if that's you and you want to make that clear today in your heart, here we go. You ready? Going to count to three. You ready? One, two, three. Just put your hand up right now. Lift it up all over the place. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hands up so I can see it. Nobody else looking. It's all good. Anyone else? You can still do it right now. You can actually still do it today. You can do it every day. I just encourage you to do it. Now, some folks raised their hands, so I want you all to do something. Would you all pray with me? Okay? Just repeat this after me. Repeat it out loud. Repeat it big and bold. You ready? Lord Jesus, thank you for coming for me. I believe that you are the Son of God. You forgive me. You heal me. And you restore me to be a child of God. I believe you died, you were buried, and that you rose from the dead so that I could be free. Thank you for freedom right now. I'm forgiven, and I'm healed, and I'm free in Jesus' precious name. So Holy Spirit, come and manifest Christ in me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've done that for the first time, somebody might want to come and talk to you. Or you might need to talk to somebody, but there's leaders here, people here, and they'll talk to you. We got Cheryl right there. She's right there. You put your hand up, Cheryl, wave it up. Cheryl would love to talk to you. But, you know, because we don't want to add members to the church. We do. Because we love Jesus, and it's a great church, and you should go somewhere. But we really want, it's about you making the decision to know Jesus. It's not about you joining the church. But we want you to learn and to grow and experience the goodness of God. All right, are you ready? Hey, we got prayer people who are ready to come right now. And before you go, if you need prayer for anything, or if you're saying, I need my miracle today, there's people ready to pray for you no matter what the circumstance or situation. Now, Percy's granddaughter, or Percy's daughter. Phil, you're right there. So good. Did Dad come today too? Oh, fantastic. Oh, love you guys. You know, we're just so moved as a family with you guys. I mean, we're not as close and intimate as you've been, but she's been a part of this family for so many years. You know, we miss her, but we know she's looking down right now so happy. But we pray for you and Percy and the whole family. We pray that that void and that sense of loss, that God would fill it with incredible grace. We thank God that you guys are a testimony of what it is to serve a victorious Savior. But we pray that he would touch you at this time of loss, and that this season would be a season of miracles for you guys, even in this difficult time. That you'd see all her prayers and all she believed for explode in goodness and grace. So we love you guys. God bless you.